This week on Barbell Shrug, we interview Kelly Starrett of Mobility Wad.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrug. For the video version, go to barbellshrug.com. Everyone, all my friends and family call me Kel. Now, you know.
You should do it, man.
Well, when I got an email from Kel. You and you signed off Kel, I was like, man, we're friends now.
That's right. That's exactly what's up.
We got close real quick.
We just bromanced it.
All right. Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bledsoe here with Doug Larson, Chris Moore here at San Francisco CrossFit. We're hanging out with Kelly Starrett.
That's right.
That's right.
That's me, man.
Is that who you are?
who am I?
Who am I? There you go. Zoolander.
What's there to ponder?
I don't know if the folks at home can see any of this or will see any of this. But you guys are all standing in a circle, and all I can think of is, "Oh, brother, where art thou?" Like, we're in a men's like harmony group.
It's pretty amazing. You have to share your heart. I saw that movie so long ago, I don't know. Real quick, before we get started, make sure you go to barbellshrug.com, sign up for the newsletter. You'll know that's the newsletter when you get there, and it'll say, hey,
news.
It'll say, hey, do you want to know how to fix your snatch? What are those 8 snatch mistakes? And it'll be Rich Froning with his shirt off next to me. So just sign up there, and we'll keep you informed of all the stuff we got going on, like how we're going to be interviewing K-Star or Kel.
Right, so right now.
Oh, just dropping it. I pull you guys into the inner family, the Kel circle, and now you just dropped it. All right.
It's all marketing, really.
I want people to know that I'm cool.
Well, you know, Prince kind of went through an evolution. You know, he was Prince, his arm was formerly known as Prince, and they had that little fucking weird thing on his neck. Well, that's where I'm going to go. That's the symbol? next. I just turned 40 on Saturday.
You did?
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm 40 years old now.
God bless
and
you.
So now I'm all gray and grizzled, and more importantly, a master. Because
there you go.
Because I'm tired of competing against these 23-year-old little bastards.
You're like, and man, now, fuck this shit.
You talk about in CrossFit?
Yeah, in CrossFit. Well, even in like...
Is 40 Masters division now?
Thank God it is.
They keep
Masters.
Moving it around.
Well, but there's just no man's land in their late 30s where you don't get any respect. Because you're like, oh, you got your ass kicked by this 24-year-old girl. And you're like, wow, but she's 24. And then, really, you don't know who you are. And then, you know, one day changes. And now I have this immediate backup where I'm like, I can redefine myself. I'm like, oh, you beat me, but I'm 40. Or if I beat you, I'm like, wow, you just got beat by a 40-year-old. That's awkward.
Well, so you're 40 years old, but you can do a backflip still? Is that what we just learned?
I can do a lot of things. I can stampede a herd of crippled yaks, yes.
So when I turned 30, I woke up the very next morning and it was very painful. Did that happen?
That's on your mind, man.
Did you wake up at 40 and be like, oh shit, this, I got extra pain now?
Well, I'll tell you what has happened. If we're gonna let's just go deep here.
Do it. Fucking dive into it.
40 was. It's been tough. This has been a tough few months. Like I had some kind of. I remember my first existential crisis when I was 18.
What was that?
Exactly. I literally like, who am I? I'm at 18.
School's hard. My girlfriend left for the summer. I'll never find another pair. Oh, I won't go there.
I haven't cured cancer.
Right?
And then suddenly 40 is, it brought all the stuff up for me. You know, I had to turn over some, you know, and look, who am I as an athlete? You know, I can't, the engine, the body is willing. And I don't think you can ever stop making progress. Like, I really appreciate, Dan John says some really like savvy things. He's like, look, if your bench isn't going up, what's wrong with your program? If you're not getting better, and we can, it doesn't necessarily mean, are your pounds going up, right? It could be volume. It can be your capacity. Can't the volume and your heart rate's high. There's a lot of ways to get better. I noticed that my metabolic engine is not as hot. This is what it's my wife's fault, actually. We were, I was training in the backyard, and this is like a year ago, and she's like, you know, it's too bad you didn't discover CrossFit when you were young, because you might have been good. And I'm like, oh,
thank you.
Thanks,
question
now,
mark.
Now I'm old and slow.
Is the vast majority of your training on the road these days?
No. I travel maybe twice a month, maybe 3 times a month.
So that's not bad.
No, it's not bad. It's bad, but it's not bad.
it's never good. Yeah.
Well, and as you guys know, I mean, you know, where we are right now, we're in the middle. I keep saying this, it's a renaissance. And
it's exciting as shit, man.
It is so exciting. And it's a Renaissance fair, let's be honest. And when you
my favorite kind of fair.
They have those little weird flatbread pizzas and jousting.
Yeah.
Especially
half chickens and rolls.
Yes.
Fake swords.
That's exactly right. Except you show up at a Renaissance fair and it happens to be a local community of strength and conditioning athletes, and they're zealous and mad, and you, when you show up, you get dropped right into their local knowledge. You're like, hey, we're gonna take you to the best barbecue, and here's our favorite margarita joint, and like,
that's where life starts.
Yeah, and the conversation the conversation's going. So on the one hand, traveling's amazing. On the other hand, you know, it really is. It's sort of tricky to kind of cobble together. We had a big joke for a long time. Like, you can talk to Wellborn about this. I don't know if you guys have had Wellborn on the show.
The giant man himself.
Not yet.
Yeah, his hands.
One day. I did shake his hand a couple years ago.
You know,
and
it
like enveloped my hand. I was like,
his hands once. Because, you know, I'm like 222, 223. That's kind of my standard weight now for a long time. Mm-hmm. And when I'm around Wellborn, I feel like a child. And I realized, I sort of have body dysmorphic disorder where I'm like, it's megarexia, where you're like, I'm so small. I'm small as every girl in the room.
And megarexia.
And it's because megarexia, because I'm around Wellborn. I'm around, this is actually, it's gotten really bad. I was just working with the Saints a couple weeks ago.
Team.
Right? They're awesome. And not a single guy on the Saints impressed me with their size. I was like, these guys are so small. They're like little gymnasts.
And I was like, next to John. This fucking guy, he's like, back squat is 700 pounds. He's like 17. Or some shit.
That's right. So, but John, Jesse Burdick, Mark Bell, like all the they're all these big guys around me all the time. So I'm just like, I guess I really am small.
Is he the biggest guy you've been in front of? What's his actual dimension?
Who, Wellborn?
Yeah.
Wellborn, I think, is like 6'4", and he's a solid 290. Depends.
Well, now, yeah.
Yeah, but when I met him, he was like 320. He was playing the last year at the Pats when he was trying out.
I got inoculated against seeing big guys when I was a freshman playing Division I football. University of Memphis, we were okay then. We suck now. We're working on it. The biggest guy I ever was in front of, a man presence. My old friend DeCore, he was 6'8", 6'9", 350 pounds. A black guy from Memphis, a fucking insane athlete.
What would Louis Simmons say? That's 350 pound of meat? Like, you know, pound of chain?
He was the kindest guy you ever met. He didn't want to hurt anybody. So somebody pissed him off one day, and he ran from one hash or sideline to the other and nailed this linebacker right between the shoulder blades with all that mass and fucking almost killed him.
He was the nicest guy because he killed a whole bunch of people by accident.
He's kind of guy.
He
didn't want to hurt anybody. No, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to hurt you. Listen to me. I don't want to hurt you. You must die. That's the progression.
Well, this is the key with Wellborn is that you know, Wellborn was. We were talking about heavy hands because John had a reputation for having these massive hands in the NFL.
Fuck.
And I was like, "What do you mean?" Well, he's like, "Let me show you." And he just took his hands and he just slapped me. He slapped me in the chest. Boom! And it's like two hams that were flat and strong just slapped me in the middle of the chest. And I felt my soul sheared sideways. Ooh, I left my body for a second. I was like, "Look, we're good friends, but don't ever do that."
Yeah. Well, that's him saying hello, right?
Somebody's heart that way.
That's him saying, "Hey, buddy. Hey, man. How's it going, bud?"
I saw a photocopy of Lennox Lewis's hands, pro boxer, and it was like bigger than the 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. Like it just dwarfed the whole thing.
Yeah,
you like big old bowling balls on the end of these. Slugging you in the face, bigger than your head.
That's what's true. And I, you know, it's so pulling this conversation back to Wellborn is that, you know, we had this joke that the fastest way to destroy your fitness is to own a gym. And then the fastest way to really not be strong or not be fit is to travel and own a gym. So
there you go.
So I talk a lot about exercising, but, you know, now I'm 40, I have an excuse.
There you go.
Didn't Wellborn have a slap tear at one point? You've helped him kind of manage that over the years?
I have helped Wellborn manage, because here's the deal is that, you know, as we're in this big experiment of figuring out, we just spent them. Like, we're like,
disposable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like a Bic razor, you know? And we're literally like, well, just lift it, get it done, crush.
Who fucking cares?
And it'll be fine, right? Because there's another kid coming through, or, you know, like literally people are like, well, I can't run. We're right next to a physical therapy office here, this big fancy orthopedic clinic next door.
Is that yours?
No.
Are y'all friends?
We're friends.
Okay.
Like the way we have a cat and a dog that are friends.
Uh-huh.
And, but we're friends-ish. And there was a woman walking by, and she had one of those, there's the Orbiter treadmill. Have you seen that? Basically, it's a big bag. You wear looks like a skirt. You know that from like a whitewater skirt?
You? Okay.
Yeah, it suspends you. And then you run suspended.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The thing, it's like a $20,000 treadmill. And then and this woman had her own thing.
That's what they made pools for.
Or running technique for.
Or you could learn how to move.
That's it.
And this woman's like, well, I tore my ACL a couple years ago. And I'm like, oh, you have your own skirt. That's a really expensive hobby. So you can just come here. And she's like, yeah, well, I just want to run once a week. And I was like, like, wow, we figured out how to sell shit to white people. This woman, you know, has bought this thing so she can run once a week. She runs at zero gravity. And I'm literally just like, I'm like, wow.
Well, I plan on shipping myself to the moon soon.
But we broke.
That's a good idea.
And that woman thinks that's okay. Like, it's okay for her to, you know, to say, hey, I can't run. And that's bullshit. I mean, really, is like, what point did you stop needing to squat or lift or be strong or have
to forfeit
lungs?
Your human card. Like, I'm exiting the human race now. I'm gonna go fucking plug myself into a machine, Matrix style.
Let me just get some exercise. I'll move my arms around in the
virtual environment.
That's it. So, you know, well, so the thing about John is that John is very, very technical in his understanding, and you arrive at some very hard lessons. You know, I paddled on the national team until my hand went numb. Right, and I couldn't turn my hand, and I had a big bloody nerve root, and like, it was bad, and like, my hands were tingly, and I couldn't pull, and couldn't turn my head for a while, and that's why I quit racing.
That's not good.
And when I asked everyone around, everyone was like, oh yeah, it happens all the time. And I was like, what do you mean it happens all the time? Like, I was like, you knew this was gonna happen to me? And I'm like, this is my right hand, bro, like, let's be clear. So
HTTP, our sound is funny.
Is there a San Francisco earthquake?
Always.
Yeah, it sounded real shaky.
Is it back?
Yeah, it's kind of cutting in and out.
Something's funny. Yeah, we'll take a break real quick. All right, guys, we're back. Sorry about that. We had a technical difficulty. We were getting into... Does anyone remember?
Yeah,
I think you're sharper than me.
The disposableness of human beings.
Yes.
So helping Wellborn out was interesting because Wellborn really comes from this language of, hey, get it done. You either survive or you don't survive. You're either going to be broken or not broken. We're talking about that woman running. You should be able to do all this stuff forever. Like, your pounds are going to go down. You're going to be stiffer. You're going to have to spend a lot more time on warm up and cool down. And maybe you can't. Like, Diane puts me on her program. I'm trying to clean 400 in my 40th year.
With one fucking arm.
Well, you know, I get to start with two. And after like 2.5 weeks, my nervous system is crushed. And sometimes I'm like, Diane, I wasn't able to even, like, I don't know where my hamstrings are. And she's like, oh, you're old. And you just you don't handle as much volume as a 26-year-old. Maybe that's the difference, right? So
I've noticed that.
That's right.
I've noticed that.
You don't recover as fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unless you do the other thing. So, but, you know, the issue is that with John, we had seen, you know, his knee looked like a garbage dump. You know, he'd played football with a broken bone out of his leg.
It's a brutal sport, man.
Right. So it is brutal, but also as brutal is that we didn't ever treat athletes like they're athletes. And I'll tell you, whatever your take on CrossFit is, you know, this is the first time I've ever been around a group of people that actually think of themselves as professional athletes in terms of nutrition, warming up, cooling down, looking at positions, looking at kind of, you know, being not even just physical capacities, but all the ancillary shit that goes along with being an athlete.
They're trying to sustainability too, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Can we keep this shit up? Can we live long, awesome lives and be strong and fit?
And then how long can we do this without just a flash in the pan?
Yeah. The fundamentals is always fitness and health, and then so it was built off of that, unlike a lot of other sports.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you know, people are obsessed with performance and been going back into this thing. We've been backing into performance. The difference is now that we're all talking about it in the same place in the same time, which is what's amazing about the time we're in right now, is that people are sharing ideas and saying, hey, you know, maybe you don't need 15 grams of fish oil a day, just don't eat like an asshole, right? And
makes sense, coach.
Yeah, thanks. So we're you know what's awesome about fish burps? Nothing.
Never drink the fucking mint flavored fish oil liquid stuff. Oh my god. And chocolate flavored? Jesus. Tap dancing Christ. That's terrible. My worst nightmare.
I thought it was pretty good.
I came home one day and I was like, I made this big edict at our house, and I was like, no one's drinking milk around here. We're only drinking goat milk.
Hell yeah.
Wait a second. See how it goes. And even my daughter, who was an infant at the time drinking milk, she was like, this is disgusting. She wouldn't drink it. And I had some goat milk that was so good. I was like, this is the goat milk God intended. When God said milk, this is what
she
meant.
This is it. Right? Yeah.
Green grass.
It was amazing. And then I got some goat milk at Trader Joe's. And I got the goat, like, concentrated goat oil essence on my lip. And it was like
expressed
wet
oil gland of goat.
It was like wet goat in heat. And I chugged it from the bottle and retched in the sink for like 20 minutes. I couldn't get off the goat.
Experience, right? When you get that winter milk.
Yeah, so...
Not okay.
Here's the thing is, like, if you get the milk from the store, then you fucked up.
Yeah, I agree. True.
Yeah, you got to get from the farmer because that's the only way you're going to get it raw and, you know, clean. And then
green grass.
I did, and in the winter, in Tennessee anyways, they're getting fed only hay. Like, they're not getting not fresh green grass.
No. So you're drinking goat asshole hay-flavored milk.
You can taste what kind of grass you're drinking, right? Like, what kind of grass it might have gotten to. If you've gotten some onions, you might taste some onions.
Someone said that they're like, you're not oh, it's Forrest Griffin. You're not what you eat. You're what you eat eats.
Yeah.
That really is true. Yeah. Like, that is true.
In the winter, it's like, oh, it tastes kind of like hay. But there's been a couple times where, like, I'm trying to, like, make my milk last as long as possible. Yeah. So I've got raw milk, and I'm trying to make it last as long as possible.
It's a winter. I mean, like, that's...
And
pasteurization is bullshit.
You just got to stop. You got to stop drinking milk in the winter sometimes. Yeah. So I pour this thing, and I take a big gulp, and it's almost cottage cheese.
Oh,
I was like, I was in the office of the gym. I was like... I took a big gulp. I was like, uh-oh.
And you say
this, like, ran out there and,
you say
and let loose.
How important is it I get really fucking huge, man?
You gotta do this, go. Man, you got down. You got 20 minutes to get that pizza down. You're insane inner teenager. Fuck, man. Old me? Let's get after it.
I did not drink milk for months after that. No. But goat milk is way to go, for sure.
Mouthful of mint fish oil.
Fucking shit, it's so bad.
And a handful of walnuts. And I was like,
it's
I'm
disgusting
doing
flavor.
It's
burps. It's texturally fucked.
And then I literally was like back in the sink, sweating. Like, and I was like, done.
This is what happens when you try to be healthy. You spend a lot of time heaving over the sink.
It's trial and error, man. You gotta get this experimentation out of the way.
Gotta find the line. Actually, speaking of Forrest Griffin, what have you done with him?
You
helped him train for fights and...
No. Forrest is... here's what happens. Eventually, you care about the details because you can't afford not to care about the details. Mm-hmm. Forrest is meticulous in his preparation. Mm-hmm. Like, he did things like... You know, and his wife was, she's like, look, you know, you're the, you know, you make, when you win fights, the family does well. So what do you need? Mm. So, for example, if he
thanks
fights,
for the support, wife.
Yeah, right. Take a punch. If he was fighting at 11 o'clock, you know, yes. That was when he was fighting on the card,
right.
He would be up and exercising at 11 o'clock and a month before. Mm. And so he'd shift his whole life around and sleep by himself. And like,
smart. Oh, he'd only train at 11 p.m.?
Well, that was when one of the times he would train. So right. His body was
sure
like, it's 11
there,
o'clock,
yeah.
We're ready to go.
Right.
And so little details like that. Like, he knew when he needed to train. Hey, here's when I lift. Here's when I feel fast. And eventually, after, you know, because sometimes bad stuff happens to you. It's sport, and they're contact sports. Yeah. They're contact sports.
The whole sport's designed to hurt people. You're going to be hurt.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, you know, what happens is you find people who understand. Mm. And here's the deal. It's so easy to, you know, like if we were just talking about Ido Portal. And I don't know why I'm giving this guy, he hates me, so I don't know why I'm giving him, but
maybe
here's the deal.
Maybe he'll like
keep
you
it
now.
Going.
So first
he
of all,
says,
fuck you, second of all, his mistake.
That's right. He says, like, he's like, look, you got to be strong in weak positions. And I agree. So, because you're going to fight in bad positions, you're going to tackle in bad positions. The problem is, it's hard to see, do you have full position, yes or no? Do you have full capacity as a human? But it's easy to see in the gym if you have full internal rotation of your shoulders, yes or no? Because we do these movements called snatches, right? And cleans and kettlebell swings and stuff like that all the time, where you can easily see if you have capacity. My feeling is if you have full capacity in the gym, then you have the potential to be strong in these bad positions. You can be unstable because you have the fullest capacity of what the shoulder does versus, hey, I'm going to have to tackle or lay out in a bad shape. But if I'm already very restricted and I can kind of get away with that, that's when we start to see the weird injuries, that people overexpose or they get into some funky shapes, and then that's where the traumatic injury. Look, it happens sometimes. I work with a lot of military guys who go through a lot of bad shit, right? And how can we correct that or make it ingrained so that when you jump and land or jump out of the helicopter, like, your feet are always in the good shape to land? So there's some things we can train out of. And what ends up happening is that all of the masters at some point, anyone who's a serious athlete, starts paying attention to the fucking details. And that is, boy, I can't be in that shape. I can't be in that position. I'm missing big chunks of range of motion. I don't have capacities. I'm stiff. Even though nothing hurts, I'm stiff. You know, you're telling me that story. Yeah, it takes 700 pounds to get to the squat. You know, I mean, like, what does it look like to go to the toilet?
Living the dream, Kelly. Living the dream.
Here we go. I'm going to go sit down and take a poop.
Well, I just had the image of, like, as you get older and older, you keep passing through this wall. At first, it's like totally transparent, and then it starts filling in. And sooner or later, it's like, all right, fuck you didn't listen. it's done for you.
You only listen when you get old, though. The young athletes. Yeah. It's tough to convince those guys.
It's tough unless we make it about hot, dirty, nasty, raw, sweaty, boning. Performance.
Oh, that's not as sexy.
Yeah, right. If you start saying, hey, look, this shape yields better performance more often, then we get everyone's attention. And then also, eventually, this is just the way we do it. We're not having this conversation where we've solved this fucking problem. Why are you squatting like an ass? You know what I mean? Like, one of my daughters was running around our gym, and she's 5. And one of our coaches worked with an older athlete or a newer athlete. And you know, at some point, like we really want the foot a lot straighter for a whole bunch of reasons we didn't talk about. But it's like your foot's in a good position or it's not, and it's stupid if it's turned out like a duck. It's just dumb. You know,
you look like an asshole walking.
And
you can't look cool like that.
Okay, you're right. So, but even my daughter walks by and she's like, Ivan, her feet should be straight.
Is she talking shit about kids at school? Like, Daddy, this bitch has crooked feet. You don't have to say that, Kelly. I'm mad with living here. I'm sorry, bro.
Well, she does come home and talk shit. They'll talk shit about kids' lunches, like, and you should see what that was in the kids'
bitch
lunch.
Is she does.
No wonder she's all puffy.
Listen, baby.
I meant slow and puffy, right? So I kicked her ass.
Daddy says you're slow and puffy.
I'm. Hold on to your ass. This next generation of kids. The real exciting thing is it's too late for you. You're too old.
I'm too slow. I did a handstand.
Carl. He works his magic. His little European Euro
magic.
I'm
going to ask him for his phone number. Can we have coffee, Carl? I mean, you just romance me, man. Fuck.
He does. He talks me into a whole bunch of shit I didn't know I could do. This is how I get even with Carl. I take him on the river, and he's scared shitless of being in the white water. Mm. And watching him, you know, you're to Tennessee, you understand.
I do white water.
Dude, you've seen Deliverance, bro. It's cool. So I put him in a 2-man whitewater kayak. Look, it's a legit. This is a legit whitewater kayak. And okay. We went and ran a good solid intermediate
section. It's a hairy thing to do.
Where people were, we were paddling down, and people literally were like, "Oh, you guys, you're in going in here in that boat." Oh, and Carl's like, "What is it? What do they mean?
What's that mean?
What does that mean?" And I was like, "It's gonna be fine, Carl.
Don't worry, bro. Relax.
It's totally gonna be fine." And you know, it's just so fun to see someone get gripped. Here's my recommendation.
It is
for anyone who thinks that they're gonna get into strength and conditioning as a sport or hobby, choose a kid sport that actually pays dividends. Like, on one hand, I'm like, oh, that's really impressive, Carl, and you're a great teacher, and you're really empathic, and you're really genius, but you've been fucking doing this since you were 2. And now, like, you, whatever you did as a hobby sport, like pro, you still get to leverage that. You know what I mean? Like, how many whitewater kayaking events have turned up in CrossFit? Or in the Olympics? Right.
If you what get kind like, of crazy shit can what, we think of?
What is this? So my point is just that you should really, you know, learn the skill that you can actually make money, which actually goes back to college. It goes back to, you know, don't get a liberal arts degree. Become an accountant.
I get the email like once a week is what certifications should I get? Like, I don't know. What do you want to do? Like, if you want to be a weightlifting coach, maybe you should go to USAW. I mean, if you want to be a football strength and conditioning coach, maybe you should get your CSCS. If you want to be a CrossFit coach, you might want to go get level 1.
Well, take half of all that money to go visit people and fucking engage with other humans and learn, fucking train and learn.
I'm not actually talking about education here. I'm talking about pieces of paper.
Oh, well, so. Why are you talking about that shit then? The meaningless shit.
But you gotta choose what you want to go into.
You do have to choose. It's life's all about choices.
Yeah. All right, so you've got a book.
I just had a threshold moment where I was like, do you remember in Flash Gordon, you like stick your hand in the stump?
Yeah.
Remember that? That's really what this whole thing is about.
Flash. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm open to all the
references. Wait, I watched it one time, but I don't remember.
I watched too much TV as a kid, and it's paying dividends now, so fuck all these people who told me not to watch so much TV.
I'm 40 and you're 19. That's what the problem is. There's this thing called TV.
I wish I was 19, man.
We had this TV. It wasn't flat.
Actually, I got my first TV a few years ago.
Yeah. That finally came to the South. I appreciate that.
So you wrote a book, Supple Leopard. You got Mobility Wad. I think you kind of came on the scene with the Mobility Wad thing. That's when everyone really noted, you know, you picked up a lot of steam and kind of got that web liberty status. And then,
oh man,
I told one person about that.
Really?
Just only told one person. And honestly, the reason we started it was because I had a had a clinical practice, and I was working with all these athletes, and I was like, how come you don't know this? Like, what's wrong with you? How come I have to start from zero every single time?
Yeah.
Like, that's great that you squat. I mean, you know, I was lecturing people, like really smart Olympians, about, you know, okay, this is what your hip, this is your leg. Your leg isn't being a leg right now. Did you notice that? Like, what the fuck? You've had three MRIs and, you know, and spent $17,000, but you're, you know, like, you don't even know how to squeeze your butt. Like, what are we talking about? And so,
for all my life, man. Yeah, I'll go, sorry.
No, this is it. So we really started, like, why don't we just take the low hanging fruit off? And,
yeah.
And we'll just put this out. This is like stream of consciousness. And it is. You see, it's just like me and an iPhone. Fuck it. Like, we're doing it live.
Yeah.
And,
okay, we're doing it live.
And literally, lo and behold, it resonated with people.
Well, I can really appreciate it, man, because I think the thing I love about it, and it's made the biggest impact for me, like the last year at my own personal training, which isn't for any competition, but it's like learning posture things. Again, because my whole life being a young, fat kid struggling on a football field trying to learn a sport, and then having mobility never being a thing, but having the stretching be that first thing you do, that's almost like a throwaway thing. Oh, we'll just fucking do this because I guess you got to stretch and you got to get warm, and you put all the focus on the running around and damage. And there's no discussion about, well, you know, I'd like to see you do this in a better position. This makes sense. Or like, well, this is just as important as all the exertion stuff. We got to make sure you can play the whole fucking year and not just get trashed.
Well, and you know, it's so interesting to see where it's gone, because really, when I say mobility, I'm like, do you have the motor control to actually get in the position? Do you know what you're supposed to do? Because, you know, joint range and tissue range, you're not like an unanimated piece of meat. Like, does your software fucking work? And that's like, you know, probably it's two videos to one, me talking about movement theory and technique to actually how to fix the biomechanics. This is where people have gone wrong. I mean, people are substituting mobility for stretching, and I'm like, whoa. The reason I didn't ever use the word stretch, I didn't even use the word flexibility, which is CrossFit's word for this thing, was that what we're seeing is that people were really confused and came with a lot of baggage.
Mm-hmm.
We have to take a systems approach to your biomechanics. But most important is, do you understand what the good position is or what an optimal position is for the human? Yes or no? And that's not debatable. Like, that's not even, if you're still arguing with me about what the steel position of the knee is, like, go to fucking school. Like, that's what I did. Like, that shit is closed.
Read a fucking boring book, come back to me.
Seriously, so what's great is, now it's gotten so advanced that I'm like, I'm asking you, do you have full position, yes or no? Can you achieve an optimal position? Because that, and if you can, then you don't need to warm up. You just need to get hot and sweaty and run around and learn a skill, right?
This is a beautiful idea of making it important. Like, here's why this is fucking important, as important as anything else you do. Here's why it should be progressive, and here's why it'll give you what you want, help you deliver more force, help you be more explosive, help you last longer.
And it's a moving target.
It's a big, obvious gap no one closes.
Because you're going to get old. You're going to have to sit. You're going to come through a really brutal training cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, this last year I was training for this 100-mile mountain bike ride, and all you need to do... that's a good question. It was like an 8.5-hour grinder, 12-hour grinder.
That sounds like a blast.
Yeah, right. The numb penis, everyone loves that.
That makes for a gnarly chode at the end of that race.
We say grundle
on the West Coast.
Yeah. It is West Coast. So the thing is, I was doing it as a fundraiser for some friends, for some fallen. Yeah, go ahead, keep laughing. So I'm doing it as a fundraiser for some friends. And meanwhile, I'm Olympic lifting heavy, and I'm traveling. And guess what happens? My quads start to get brutally, brutally stiff. One day I wake up, and I had knee pain. And I'm like, what? I have knees? Like, I don't have knee pain. Like, I haven't had to have a knee pain since NAM. You know, but like, well, you know, seriously. So all of a sudden, like, it turns out, like, squatting heavy, cleaning heavy, biking heavy, and flying in an airplane, I got behind.
Bad combination of factors.
And that's why it's got to be moving target. And so teaching people this is what normal is. Like, if you ask anyone, should round your back and pick something up off the ground? They're like, no. And I'm like, okay. So why is your shoulder in that position? Why is your ankle totally collapsed? Like, why did your knee come in when you squat? You can identify the spine thing because we beat that into your head, but you can't identify any other pieces. So out with the Saints, and literally, you know, they made a commitment now to start squatting and training heavy during the season.
Okay.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
And so I come in, and so, you know, early on preseason.
So that's not common already.
No, man, fuck.
No, we don't want to get you hurt and you beat up.
I've never been a
high-level athlete like myself.
So but it's rare. So the Niners squat heavy, like really heavy. They box squat
that
heavy.
That keeps you healthy, man. That's what I think.
So here, let's expand on that, because everyone knows that. You actually feel better. Pavel's been talking about it. Do some triples, right? Yeah. You don't have to make progress. You just don't have to lose progress, right? Yeah. So, and when your training volume's up, pounds come down a little bit, but you still get the same volume in, right? Whatever the, you know, the real question is, how many times a week do you need to squat? Three times a week? Twice a week? I don't know. That's between you and your coach. But here we are with the Saints coming in, you know, the day after they just had a scrimmage. They're all beat up. And I'm like, let me explain to you what we're doing here. And I'm like, we're going to reclaim your position because you can't reclaim it otherwise. We're going to open up your hips. We're going to get your trunk firing again. We're going to get your ass working again. Like, we're going to get you into some better positions and you're not going to get weaker.
And they're like, word.
And guess what happened? They actually had a great practice. And I'm in the elevator with one of their, like, star defensive players. Like, huge. And he's like, yo, my hips feel really good today. He's like, you know, I'm kind of explosive.
Thanks.
I'm like,
thanks, motherfucker.
Vilma. Like, he's like, I'm kind of explosive. You
know? He's a fucking monster.
Yeah, dude. Oh, is he? Yeah.
He's
yeah.
like a child. Next, like, just don't razz me, man.
He's like, well, my hips are open, you know, I feel like I can do stuff. Yeah. And
that's right here, bro.
Profound.
You know? I'm like, thank you, sir. Could I have, you know, a Coke, you know?
And sign my t-shirt.
So, I mean, that's what's interesting about this is that suddenly we're making this about positions. We're making it about mechanics again, and we're making it about understanding you're going to be compromised. Well, playing a football game is a big compromise. Sitting at a desk is a big compromise. Being an endurance athlete is a big compromise. Flying a helicopter, it doesn't matter. How do you reclaim your human function? As a side effect, you probably get stronger.
I guess that fucking moment's what's all about. I can sit up, I put my leg up on something and stretch. Like, okay, I did that. Check that off the list. Or I can fucking feel why it's important, right?
That's right.
Carl was talking about the same thing.
That's right. And not only that, but like, you know, am I just really like, you're going to stretch your hamstring? Have you seen how strong your hamstrings are? You know, oh, you squatted 1,000 pounds. Yeah, let me just pull on a little bit with 5 pounds of tension. You're like, yeah, I feel a stretch there. That's not going to change anything in that system. And so one of the problems is we engaged in a bunch of bullshit that wasted people's time, like stretching, you know, like you, because you, and people are like, yeah, stretching, it makes you weak. I'm like, no shit, who's been stretching? Have you stretched in the last 20 years? Like, we all stopped doing that because it doesn't work.
Well, I just stopped doing it because it's boring.
And that was
a very short attention span, by the way.
In all defense of stretching,
you can't keep around anything.
No, so, and that's why I CrossFit.
So, well, that's right. So, you know, like, I think cooking is like cooking my little paleo meals kills me. You know, the greatest thing out of this whole experiment in psychology, this whole social experiment, is that people now are making meals. Like, they bring steak and parsnip puree to my gym for me. And I'm like,
wow, yeah.
God bless you, sir.
That's a revolution right there.
We need to send a message out to our members. You know what it is?
Where's my goddamn parsnip prescription?
I wanted a topiary draft.
We don't understand, our coaches actually get stuff.
What am I, a farmer?
Not me anymore. Yeah. All right, let's take a break real quick. When we get back, we're going to tell everyone Kelly Starrett's secret code into breaking into the Mobility Watch premium website.
Done. 3, 2, 1,
Shaka-bra.
Can't do it now. And we're back.
You have to.
San Francisco. I don't know what to say. San Francisco CrossFit with Kelly Starrett.
Kel.
Kel.
You're buzzed now.
Yeah,
it's Buddy Kel.
There you go.
Kel. Sounds like Call L.
Oh, there you go.
I want to go the Kel, so it's like the consumption. Like, my dad died of the gonorrhea.
Not a true story.
Right before we cut off there, I wanted to get in. So you wrote the book. You did Mobility Wad for a long time, and you're still doing Mobility Wad, but you moved to a premium site, which is actually fairly cheap for what you're getting. Was it $8 a month?
Fairly cheap.
The trolls don't
think so. Basically free.
Super cheap.
Well, here's
cheaper than anything we sell. I'll tell you that.
Well, that's nice. Here's what we did. We had a problem because we needed to re-tag and re-categorize everything and put it, and we actually went into like deep porn site technology. We have
innovators, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
First ones that have HD online.
Managing all of this video content platform, the porn guys were doing it better than anyone else. And we had a genius who basically...
That's why your site looks a lot like Pornhub. I heard.
Find stretching singles in your area.
I'm just my engine, man. What the fuck?
Make a Metcon. That's right. Yep. Latex. So one of our friends went, this guy is very talented, went back engineered all these functions and features, right, to be able to categorize. So one is that it was a very expensive website, and we hadn't made any money from the website for years. And then I don't know if people understand how expensive it is to, like,
they fucking do not, dude.
To like hold that stuff on Vimeo. Like, we pay huge amounts of bandwidth fees to manage the actual, just the administration. We have a guy who like helps us with that. We have, so the thing was starting to cost us a ton. And look, I understand the freemium kind of thing. We still put out a ton of free web content, yeah, and all the other stuff is just categorized as a side effect. It's way easier to use now. Mm-hmm. But what we found is if you ran a small family business, like I have children, if you ran a small family business that cost you tens of thousands of dollars every year, like, wouldn't your wife be like, what are you doing? Like, but this well, is good for the environment.
She'd do something harsher than that. She'd grab other balls, probably.
Yeah, so and so what we realized is that, like, look, we think we can up our game. We can do daily programming. And then we actually wanted to create a platform for webinars. So we can do this one-hour webinar.
Those webinars are...
They're good.
They get deep, man.
Yeah. They do. Yeah. And I can talk about
them. We just used one for staff training the other day.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, the shoulder one.
Because I really feel like people aren't getting some of the basic anatomy physiology in our language, right? You can go... There's plenty of good resources, but this is our right. language. This is the language that you speak and I speak.
Nobody gives a shit about the other stuff.
We don't. It
doesn't make sense to them.
It's useful if you're going to... Look, at some point, someone has to understand the biochemistry, but like we don't need to know it. Mm-hmm. You know, but you do need to know some basic anatomy physiology if you're going to do this stuff really well. The other piece of that was we also want to create a graduate level course so that I could take off the break and really go a little bit more wild, because the coaches out in the world are now the tip of the spear. You're solving, people are coming into you and they're like, hey, I have no knee cartilage. What are we doing today? And you're like, whoa. Or, you know, people, I mean, you literally are getting everyone in your gym, yeah, and you have to be responsible and know how to program and coach for that. So we needed basically cut off to say, look, we think you need graduate level education, and I'll over deliver, under promise, over deliver, and we're trying to do that. And you know, we have almost like 10,000 members right now, which is great, because what we're seeing is that people are really hungry for daily resources at little chunks of time that really makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'd imagine after having that much free content for so long, you had people that felt like entitled to get it free forever, and now they're pissed that they paid $9 a month or whatever it costs, which is ridiculous.
But dude, you spent like $9 on fucking Starbucks this morning.
Yeah.
Come on.
And
man,
that's, I know, I think Web 2.0 is sailed. We're in Web 3.0. And no, I mean, you have to pay for the New York Times online. You have to pay for our local paper online. Mm. And if you really think something is valuable, you should support it. I mean, forget the public radio model. Mm. Like, we've gone beyond, and there are enough resources, and we've killed people on the free stuff. Mm. And now we're saying, hey, look, we can make it better. You know, we're shooting everything in HD now. We just like, it just is a little bit more sophisticated. That's right. We have to.
You pay for what you get, you know. If you're not paying anything, you're getting free stuff. It might be good.
This allowed us.
If you pay, yeah, you're going to get even higher quality, like you're talking about, organized, better.
If people understood, even just for us to do that webinar piece, is that live webinar show, like it's so sophisticated on the back end to make that happen. And that costs us a lot of money to put up. We think it's the right thing to do. We just don't want to lose money. We still haven't broken even yet. So
there's other stuff.
You can, like, I'm ready to break even anytime, people.
There's other stuff.
After years of work.
There's other stuff you can do with that time, that hour. Like, why not understand that you're here to educate me? I might want to value that.
Yeah. We're still enough. What I think is great is that we still have about 600 free videos on there, and that's, you can solve most of the problems on the planet with that stuff. And now we can be a little bit more sophisticated, a little bit deeper, you know.
Yeah, everything seems to be more.
The haters are like, what's great, and this is what's great about the Legion, is that someone shows up on Facebook and is like, what? Ah, this used to be free. This is bullshit. And then people just eat him.
You know? As they should, yeah.
Fuck you up. Don't come around here.
It's good to have trolls on your side of the fence.
Yeah. Well, I like
sick them. My minion trolls.
I like you were talking about like graduate level classes, and I think I get in this discussion a lot. I think quite a bit about education as a whole, formal education, and I think it's going away. Like, walking into a university with buildings and all that kind of stuff.
And for a job you'll never get.
Yeah, you know, ridiculous student fees. I mean, I can learn more about kinesiology by subscribing to your website than I ever did in class, you know? And it's...
I will say that...
And it's a lot cheaper. Yeah.
I went to grad school. People forget
it's
I have...
It's fun, right?
Right.
We all enjoyed our time, though.
I don't recommend it. You know, nine semesters of, you know, of eating shit. But I had to do that in order to be able to explain this. I agree that with what we're doing, there are a lot of ways to go around this curve now. And the resources available, Creative Live, there's a whole bunch of kind of languages. There's a young kid out there who basically put himself... He's told his parents at like 16, he's like, I'm dropping out of high school. This is bullshit. I'm not going to college. Here's what I'm doing.
Folk rock music band.
Yeah, that's right. Plastics. So,
yeah. Yeah, my little brother and sister, you know, they go, oh, what should I do next? And my aunts and uncles are like, you have to go to college. And they come ask me, and I go, no, you don't.
Yeah.
Like, there's you, you can get your education.
Asshole Uncle Mike again.
Here's the deal: is that you need training, you need skills. We see a lot of people who have talent, but they have no skills. And what you need for skills, you got to put some time in. Like, come in and coach, Kelly, coach 1,000 people.
Potential is a French word for ain't done shit yet. I don't know if you knew that.
That's right. Potential. what we're seeing is that people just don't have the skills, and so you know you can pick up these things. You know, if I'd grown up as a kid saying I want to be a strength coach, my parents were like, whatever, there's two jobs in football and college football, you know.
Good luck buying a house in the Bay Area. Unless you're fucking
how about good luck buying a house, you know? You know, and it's a tough job. I mean, how many, and I know so many professional strength and conditioning coaches for big programs, and it's hard work. And they shit on you.
You're the first fucking guy to get fired.
It's changing now. It's starting to change. We're starting to see, I'm trying to make the strength and conditioning coach the most important person in the universe. Like, the physios come. Look, I'm jumping on an airplane tomorrow for Europe. I'm going to go work with Arsenal. Do you guys know the football team Arsenal? It's the soccer team. It's the third most valuable franchise in the world.
Oh, wow.
Right? But like the physios are, they're under the physio, there's a performance department head, and then there's strength coaches and their physios, and they're not integrated still. And what I'm hoping to go over there is I know where they're making all their mistakes. Why? Because I've been behind the scenes everywhere. People have forgotten that in the last 6 or 7 years, I've gotten to see everyone's dirty laundry. Every university, every pro team, every, you know, national team, every, like, just all the military guys.
Gathering the data, man.
Well, just seeing it, seeing the same mistakes over and over again. And, you know, what's happened is I think that strength coach, so with the Saints, what's really great is Coach Payton is now strengthening. He's training. He and Gruden just went head to head, you know, which is pretty amazing. Gruden's pretty fit, and they just went head to head on a workout.
Oh, man.
And you know, Peyton is training before NFL football, before Monday Night Football. He's in the gym at 6 a.m.
That sets the whole fucking tone for the team, too.
Oh,
like,
yes,
my coach is not the guy who just tell me, do as I say, not as I do, kind of asshole. He's fucking in the trench. Like, I'm here, too. I'm part of this fucking team.
That's right. And human beings train, and let's squat together. And so we see that. So now what's happened with, you know, Coach Dalrymple, who is now old school strength coach, University of Miami, Ohio. Been with Sean for a long time. Suddenly, he's the guy, and everything, all the performance things are run through him, as they should be. Nutrition, you know, adaptation, compression, all of those things are run out of that department, and then he has better resources into the rehab ATC piece because he can spot it. Hey, let's get on that ankle early. Hey, I see that hip's not working, and that person needs better training to come up to, and we have to train them better. It's not just about, you know, who's got the best, you know, squat program anymore. Gail Hatch, right? What we see now,
I hadn't thought of that in like 15 years.
We got a weird handwritten letter from him weeks ago. Yeah. But anyway, I never met him before.
Dearest Barbell
Strong. I have no idea why I got it.
I discovered your show on the Googles.
On the Googles. On the YouTubes. But you know, what's happened is that we have so much access to amazing technology. The best technology still in the world is the eye. Like, you as a human being, as a coach, can see it better than anyone else. And in a trained fashion, you just need to know what to look. That's what we're doing now. We're helping people see, look, the spine is the spine. Can you see the knee coming in? Did you see the foot drop? That's it. And that's what the coach is. You know, the defensive line coach for the Saints is crazy. He's amazing. But he's like, you know, like, Kelly, like, I tell these guys, power runs in lines. It runs in lines. Your feet have to be straight. You know, and I'm like,
wow. Yes, sir.
You know, and like, he's like, why are your feet out like a duck? Like, you get the beat out when feet are like a duck. Like,
is this the guy from the water bottle?
Pretty much, like, he is. Yeah, he's got his guys back in 4-point stances because he's like, 3-point stance? You think
gotta
that's
get low.
Yeah, well, and you can develop more force from 4 points when the feet are all even. Can you squat as much in a split stance?
Not unless you're Klokov. The guy's got staggered.
He can do it. That's unintentional.
Well, this is some kind of weird thing that's developed. He's on that path. It's working until it doesn't work, right?
That's right.
Until you're 40.
I love Klokov. Like, what, Jesse just texted me something that he's like, I deadlift every day. It's the most important lift. You know, and like,
back straight, knees straight, wide, 600 kilo for 10. Vodka shot. I want to drink vodka with Klokov on this fucking show. Let's make this happen.
That'll happen.
So maybe every single coach doesn't need a graduate degree or a physical therapy degree, but having some amount of academic knowledge, like you recommended the Newman text on the shoulder webinar that you did, which I thought was perfect. That's like, you know, people make fun of me and my wife all the time because she's a physical therapist, and I got a graduate degree in kinesiology, and that was my favorite textbook, and it was her favorite textbook, and it was like, that's kind of like how we met, debatably, and we get made fun of all the time for it, but that textbook really is fucking amazing. You have to know the basics of anatomy and physiology, or
What's the point?
Yeah, you can't be
so one-sided. Nerds, man.
I know.
we had all the physios in who are teaching my courses out in the world. So they're all coaches, physios. You have to do both. You can't just be one or the other. You got to be a coach and a physio. Because I'm like, look, if you know, talk of bowls is not the same thing as being the bowling. You don't have to squat the best. You just have to squat well. Yeah. Right? And then be able to fix the mechanics. And we called it Nerd Fest in here for like 2 days. Yeah. All the coaches were like, man, I wish I was part of Nerd Fest. I'm like, nerds are sexy.
Yeah. You can make being a nerd cool. You've done a good job.
You've been with a nerd. So, the bottom line is.
You're making stretching sexy and cool. And now being a nerd. Damn.
I want to join this revolution.
Really did make mobility cool.
I'm getting left behind.
Yeah. Well, you know, the problem is we weren't talking about position. You know, we know that just more squatting didn't fix all the squatting problems. You know, we knew that just deadlifting more didn't fix all the deadlift problems. You know, people were like, well, look at this. In the 70s, this guy was rounding his back when he's deadlifting. I was like, yeah, now his dick is numb. And that was the only position he could deadlift in. You know what I mean? Like, we've run this experiment. And now, why aren't we learning from our lessons? That's just the definition of madness. But we are. People are getting better.
I feel like that'd be a good coaching cue. Hey, man, you're looking great now. Good snatch. Moving kilos. 10 years, your dick won't work. Your dick will be like
convincing
in your fucking hand.
Again. So I have a family member who was a rower, a high level rower at college, and you know, you can imagine he was very, very tall. He rowed in a flexed position for a long time, man. Right? Because they didn't know, pull harder. Oh, the numbers went up.
I think a lot of rowing coaches teach that way.
That's right. Well, eventually,
from what I heard,
Europeans are more likely to be that way. Stable, right? Just the same way you round back when you deadlift. It feels tight. I'm feeling good there. So, you know, how many strokes does it take? You know, they're doing 200K a week. Well, anyway, he herniated some discs, right? Doesn't get on it, and literally just had to have his penis rebuilt. His urethra shut down because of the innervation from your sacral nerve roots. Mm-hmm. He got pressed. His urethra shuts down. He has to rebuild a tube into. I know. Look at your face.
So here's the deal,
right?
You can keep that fucking posture up now, aren't you, buddy?
You can say to yourself, self. I can either have my penis grafted with skin from my mouth so I can pee again, then have spinal surgery, or when it starts to get a little sloppy, I'll realize I'm at the limits of my technical ability.
With that ebook, you're going to sell a fucking million copies.
Juliet always, you know, my wife is on the side, but, you know, she has this great, great coaching cue, and she's like, make a better decision. That's it. She looks at me literally. She's like, really? That's your decision right now.
I like that. Cute, man.
Make a better decision.
Yeah. It's good life coaching cue.
There's not much you can respond to that. Like, okay, I will. Thank you. I love you.
Yes, ma'am.
Most of the time when someone's moving poorly, they know it.
Yeah.
And they're just.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I think that there's so much. I think that people are working the limits of their understanding, but there's so much noise in training. It's like in a fight, it's so much noise. No, we say here, I'm like, look, I'm giving you 5 chances. On your 5th squat, you should look better than the 1st squat. Why you just practice 4? You got immediate feedback. If I gave you 5 bullets, your 5th one is usually way more on target. You're not getting worse and worse.
Right.
You get the feedback. So I expect if you make the same mistake twice, I'm like, what are you doing now, right? So knees come in, you get to rep 4 and it's starting to be a shit show. I know you can get to 5, but that's not the point, right? The point is that the 5th one looks better than the 1st one. When we do high rep Olympic lifting here, which people love to take apart, we just frame it differently. I'm like, look, we're going to do 30 reps here and they should each one should get better and better
better. It's practice. I mean, some reps are fucking, I mean, you don't shoot one fucking free throw, go, well, I missed that one. Jesus.
Well, that's right. And we're going to see errors. Of course, but the issue is that you can't self-correct the error if you don't know you're making the error. And the problem is we haven't empowered people to understand, hey, this is what your back feels like when it's rounded. See that?
Oh. And you have to feel it a bunch, and you have to feel it when it clicked.
And you also have to feel it under load, because it's loud. And I'll tell you what, the first time I squat 500, I had a headache for a week. I had a bloody eye.
A little gnarly.
And I came home, and Juliet was like, make a better decision. She's like, look at your face. I was like, it's awesome. My face. I have 500 face, you know? And it was so loud under 500 that I couldn't hear anything else.
Yeah.
But I'd practiced enough. I knew I was going to get position. But that's what happens when people are exercising or fighting or doing anything else. It gets so loud on the internal environment you can't hear. And that means you just defaulted to your lowest, like, reptile fucking self. Like, you're not a fucking brainstem and quads.
So speaking of fighting, we started to bring up the Joe Rogan podcast during the break, and I feel like you and Joe like weren't on the same page the whole time.
It was great. It was good. It was, so good fucking
it was
show.
Entertaining.
We listened to that on the way home from regionals. We had like a 10-hour drive. We're like, we got to listen to this on the way home.
You needed 10 hours.
Dude, it was comical.
I love you guys because you were like, we're like Joe Rogan, but we understand what the fuck you're talking about. I was like, oh, I love these guys. So, a couple things. Joe is doing a really important thing because he's pulled together some really counterculture. And I'm not talking about space alien sex stuff.
But he does that well, too.
Have you tried it?
But he's got, like, Dave Asprey on, and he's talking about hacking nutrition and training better. Mm. And he's really pulled in some of these things that we don't think are radical. You know, not that radical. It's not that radical to have, like, you know, some coconut oil in your coffee. Who cares? I mean, that's what we do. But he's exposed that to a whole, like, million. They have a million podcasters.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? And so it's really important. He's pulled together some really crazy, fun stuff. And he's just, and he's exposed it and talked about it.
Great idea exchange.
100%. And it's really, it's like one of the most vital, important things going on in kind of, you know, craziness and in sort of like the NASCAR culture. I'll just say that. You know what I mean? The mentality.
Yeah.
And Joe is a great guy and a good athlete. And he showed up, and I'll just say that he was late, so he was hustling, and then he got a little altered.
Yeah. Well, I like getting altered.
No, not Joe.
I was not altered. Because
well, that's making it even a steeper fucking gradient.
Was, and I was like a laser beam strapped to a shark that night. Like, and I had some coffee, and you I was like,
imagine a big bag of Cheetos, right? You got me?
Yeah,
you got me? All
right. So,
you should have just gotten to his level. That's what I think.
We were closer than you and I are. So we were making eye contact, talking, but I think he can't pick up on the nuances. And then of the body language, because Joe was in, and like he didn't talk about any advertisers. Like and he had
we're doing it.
And he hadn't read the book. He didn't know who I was. He hadn't been to the website.
We discussed that part.
And all of a sudden, I was like, "You don't know anything about who I am." So and then I was
the
like,
"The funny line was like, yeah, gluten's controversial to you, or whatever that line was like. But gluten's a problem. I don't know. I mean, fuck, I don't know. Mixing it up.
I think he's had like 100 guests come on and tell him not to eat gluten." And they like gave in like a month ago. Like after 100 people said, you should probably try not doing it for like a month.
But what I really fucking like about Joe is he's very quick to say, right, here's all these cool ideas. What's some evidence, man? Let me immerse myself. Let me fucking try to sort the bullshit from the real stuff.
He started to connect the dots at the end. We're an hour and a half in.
Barely. It was a faint connection.
Right, and he starts to like, and then I think the big moment was like, I put this lacrosse ball in my back, and I was like, really? Like, where'd you think the fucking lacrosse ball came from? This guy. You know, like, someone sent you a fucking video of my shit. Like, come on, man. And he was like, oh.
Word, I got it. Yeah.
So it was, that was an experience for sure. And, you know, I took some hate. And I didn't even read the comments. It was so ugly.
Oh, yeah.
Those are trolls times 100.
People that don't know you, that know Joe, you were a huge asshole.
Oh, I know.
But
from their perspective.
We were listening. I was like, man, Kelly did a fucking great job.
Yeah.
But he took it on the chin.
He did a good job keeping it together.
And I think anyone who's listening got the message.
You talked a lot of stuff.
Lewis and Clark the situation. You drove all the way to the West. You fucking took the wilderness in the teeth. So now the idea is incubate, and now they'll start getting it. But you had to sacrifice yourself on the altar
first.
And
Joe and I have been texting. A lot of people found me through Joe's site. A lot of people listened again.
That's awesome. Maybe go back on.
And we will. And like I said, it's such a vital information exchange. And now he's heard. And, you know, and maybe next time I'll be really sleepy. And
so imagine, like, you know.
So you'll deprive yourself of sleep.
Imagine your big head is like this bowling ball, man.
Okay, man. So it was great. But that was a experience of, it's interesting that we live with this stuff. And we're obsessed. You're obsessed.
Yeah.
We
have an hour and a half show every week about this.
Yeah. We've mentioned, 15 weightlifters, like, you know, in 20 minutes, you know? Yeah. Like, obviously, you've watched Clock Off, you know, drink, but you know what stance is. I mean, we're geeks about this. I mean, it's interesting how removed people are from their own bodies. And this next phase of Mobility WOD, this next phase is we're going to take some of the big social problems and cure them. Like, kids are still tearing their ACLs at freakish rates. We can fix that.
Yeah. How can we help you, Kelly, to achieve this dream of fucking changing the world, man?
This is it.
is that we're doing it.
Oh, and I'll tell you what's happened.
Man, that was easy.
We have so many friends now who are in on the joke and say the same things. You know, we're all starting to figure it out. You know, and it doesn't matter what you like to do at the end of the day.
You think it's a situation where, like, okay, we've preached to the choir enough now. People are getting it. We got a firm foundation now. Like, what's the next wave fully for you, man? Like, how do you get out into, like, I guess Joe's the first fucking good wave, but how do you get out into people who still need to hear this lesson, man? Where do we go from here?
Technically, The View was the first one.
Oh, I heard about that. Right. That must have been not terrible.
Which one's most annoying to you?
A Lifetime PR was I taught Barbara Walters how to box squat. Lifetime PR, true story.
Shit.
Like, we're behind the scenes.
That's crazy.
And
Kelly,
I told
Kelly,
I
said, box squat.
I was literally
2020, right?
I talked to her about how to, like, what sleep position in, and I was like, if I can get her to say knees out, I'm like, that's it for me. And I literally was like, so what you need to do? And she's like, shove my knees out. And I was like, just happy.
He's still my heart.
Barbara Walters said knees out.
Did you have sex with John F. Kennedy and now I'm teaching you how to squat? This is fantastic.
This is it. This is basically fantastic. I had sex with John F. Kennedy. This is amazing.
Oh. 2 degrees of separation.
So you really, that was the pinnacle. It's downhill from here.
So I think here's what we need to do. If we're really going to make this matter to people, we have to take all of these lessons. So one of the big pieces that I have, sort of one of my litmus tests, is it has to scale up and it has to scale backwards. So if you're talking to your physio and they're doing some low-level physio bullshit that doesn't scale up in its thinking and complexity, then then we have a problem because it's not complete thinking. Like, I had Esther Gokley on our little TV show, and she's this posture movement kind of, like, people are in just wretched daily postures, and she's been lecturing about that. She's like, yeah, you should walk with your feet out a little bit. And I was like, nope, it doesn't scale. And the reason is, you can't run with your feet out, you can't squat with your feet out, you can't, like, that's a bad position, jump and land. And, like, the problem is she had never scaled her stuff up. And one of the problems with this stuff is you got to be able to scale it backwards, right? We can teach everyone to box squat. Like, you know, good squatting mechanics is how we teach kids, how we teach adults, how we teach, right?
Removing all the noise of everything that goes with the box squat typically.
Or not even the box squat, let's just say squatting, right? So now we take the best principles of nutrition, adaptation, recovery, all the things that we're learning here, and we've got to be able to say, can this stable spine that we're teaching in the overhead squat and the deadlift, show me into the crib, show me as you sit at your desk, show me as you run, show me as you walk across the street. Take the principles, because the posture and the everyday silly stuff is the lowest expression. It's unloaded variations of the stuff. So we know what the best is. Now let's take those principles backwards. So we're working on a big project right now called Deskbound. We're really looking at culturally...
Deskbound?
Deskbound.
Okay.
Like, looking at inactivity. And it's turning out that, like, if you're an athlete, you bust your ass for an hour in training session today and then go sit at a desk, it's the equivalent of smoking and jogging. Like, it just doesn't matter. You've just canceled it out. You're fucking yourself up.
So I fucking white for some reason. I sit wait, like 90% of the time sitting.
Well, and you'll notice that we're all standing here, and I actually was like, this is legit, because when you stand, you actually think better. You know,
that's what they say.
It's not what they say.
it's physics.
It's known.
There are knowns, unknowns.
Absolutely. So what we're doing is we got to be able to take these best principles, because here's what the problem is. There's 500,000 spinal surgeons in America. Let me take this guy on. There's a website called Exercise Physiology. I think that's what it is. And
sexy URL.
Exercisephysiology.com. And the guy reviewed Becoming a Supple Leopard, and he took me apart. And he's like, there is no research to say bad posture causes pain or injury. Like, Kelly is lying.
I don't see this published in the NSCA journal.
And I literally am like,
you can't please everyone.
Are you fucking kidding me? Have you seen, like, there's 500,000 spinal surgeons in America. Can you explain that? Can you explain the stenosis? Can you explain the, like,
this,
like,
is a dude that doesn't leave his mom's basement, I bet.
And I literally am like,
leave his office in the third floor of some shitty academic building on some unknown campus.
Why does it, your shoulder doesn't function right? I don't know. It doesn't hurt, but it just, you know, it just doesn't work. So
you're not doing anything. Like,
let me write a scathing review.
Mouth
breathing the whole time.
So, you know, yeah, dude, you just went after his diaphragm. That's so deep.
Fuck your diaphragm.
Sexfizz.com. But my point is, like, we haven't made the case. You know, that guy's a hater, but only because I haven't been clear enough, or haven't made the case clear enough for why this matters. You're not being a
fully human.
The
lights a fire again. Like, fuck, I got work to do.
I
haven't done anything yet. I got
so much work to do.
What's the next step? The desk?
Deskbound. around, and then we're.
That's a book. Okay.
And then we're trying to get into office. It's a public.
Is this where you're going to be like, hey, you should be standing at your desk.
You should be leaning. You should like have a bar stool. The drafters figured this out. Winston Churchill.
Winston Churchill.
Okay, so I have a stand-up desk.
I need a bar stool. So I need sometimes.
I need like a little stool to lean up against.
Yep. And then you put your foot up on it. You ever going drinking at a bar?
Never.
There's this thing at the bottom of the bar. It's called a bar. What do? You put your foot up on that, right?
I definitely do that.
You can run this experiment.
So stepping up to the bar.
Yes.
Well, if I spend more time in the bar, I even need that in my office?
No.
All right.
So it turns out. So check this out. I mean, bartenders figured this out a long time ago. You can run this experiment. Go deadlift. Do a whole bunch of kettlebell swings. Go do a bunch of more back extension stuff, right? Some glute hams. Then go right to the bar and start drinking. And you're going to be like, stand there. And you're not allowed to put your foot up or sit down. And watch what happens to your low back. It's going to start to ache.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to be like, ugh.
I've done that exact thing before.
And that makes sense. Of course, that's what you do.
Like, I got to take a shit shimmy.
Yeah, right. And then you're like, okay, I'm not extending that side. No, I'm not extending that side.
What I start doing is I start squeezing my glutes and trying to push.
So now you're like, hey.
I'm at the bar doing this.
And you're like,
So it turns out that drink isn't very good. The girl's not very hot. Your back aches. You'll come to this place is lame. But if you put your foot up, just do it. Click, and all of a sudden you've taken the extension load out, and you're back into neutral, and you're like, this is the best Fruit Loops vodka I've ever had. And
Fruity Pebbles.
Get it right. Do they have Fruity Pebbles vodka?
I don't know.
If they do, I will drink it.
They have Fruit Loops vodka. No. So,
just saying.
I know these things. It's my job.
Is it gluten free?
Yeah, of course.
Dude, is this your first time talking alcohol? Jesus Christ.
Well, Fruit Loops are not gluten free. I've done my research. That's the alcohol kills the gluten.
It pulls the gluten into something that's not.
Robin has this story where this guy shows up at his gym and he's kind of like an athlete guy, a wrestler or something, and all of a sudden he starts vomiting. He's doing a workout. His first workout, he's vomiting. He's vomiting purple and green. And Rob's like, it's bile. I mean, like, what's going on? This guy's dying. And he goes, but it's just really bad colors. And after a while, guy kind of gets his shit together and he's like, sorry, I just had a bunch of Fruity Pebbles. And Rob Wolf was like, get the fuck out of my gym.
I've got work to do myself. People don't know what paleo means, I guess.
So we think we take on the standing piece, understanding that, right? Because it really is just about, and here's my deal, I'm a little bit selfish. Why should your job mess up with your squatting? People got it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
If you sit in the car, police officer, you're going to squat like shit. You know what I mean? And squatting is really hard.
And how are you going to chase perps?
So I just need to run a bar underneath for my legs, and I can just put my foot up on them.
There's always already one on the bar stool. Then we've got a book coming out called...
I want to make it difficult for myself.
You need a standing treadmill desk. It's like $50,000.
Put it right next to your fucking floaty thing that they got next
door. That's right. The zero gravitron.
Zero gravitron writing desk.
That's it.
If I write 500 pixels...
TM. I don't even know where to go. That's a genius idea. Just float.
Dude, I'm gonna hook up a harness in my house. Bungee straps to the ceiling.
Here's a fucking writer. Here's like aspiring writer shit. I got this idea for a book, but I can't just like sit. Kelly told me, I said, I gotta have that thing. Then I'll write my book, bro. Then I'll fucking write the book.
Bro, do you even write?
not without my Floatatron 5 million. Finance that bitch. Then I'll pay for it when I get my book sales in.
We're working on the sort of an after book from Ready to Run. Remember Born to Run?
Oh, yeah.
It's a fucking fantastic book.
And it's like the promise of barefoot running, and then what happened? People got injured. It's because it turned out they didn't have length range. They had big engines on strapped to the little Yugo, and they didn't know how to work it, and they destroyed themselves. And so Chris Powers, really good physical therapist, are saying, hey, go back and it's safer to heel strike. And I'm like, what? That's like saying, you know what? Breathing is too difficult. It's safer to smoke. Like, it's just, instead of giving people, making them be human again, giving them a template to get back into flat shoes, getting them a template to getting them tissues ready so they can run. Right, there's no baby steps out there. So people went out and just got destroyed.
Oh, yeah. I know plenty of dudes that were like, I got my five fingers on Friday night, and I'm going to go run a 5K tomorrow morning.
And my arch collapsed on me.
Dude, they couldn't walk for 2 weeks.
Yeah, tore their plantar fascia.
Holy shit. Right,
I mean, and those injuries are real and significant, but we're just giving people a template for that. So we're taking off some of these, you know, because kids, what I'm really interested in is, you know, why are kids wearing high heel shoes? You know, why are your kids?
Because it's cool, Kelly.
Makes that booty pop.
How can you twerk in flat shoes? That doesn't fucking work.
Doesn't make any sense.
No,
doesn't.
No, I don't.
You know, we've actually called the butt wink now is known as twerking. Like, are you, did you just twerk, bro?
Just twerk with
500 pounds. Way back.
Hello.
Too much loudness, I think. I think we overpowered the system. Yeah. How could that happen with these four people?
So you got two more books. You got your webinars. Is that a once a month thing?
It's a once a month thing.
Once you're a member,
we're starting a second level course where we're getting out and trying to create a course for training the injured athlete. We're just realizing that. Look, I think that the strength and conditioning coach is the center. Oh, stand by.
Are we in trouble?
The strength and conditioning coach is the center of the universe, and here's what the deal is. The strength and conditioning coach needs more resources. That's what we're working on.
Very
my
cool.
job is to work, you know, it's fun to work with great athletes, but it's more fun to work with great coaches. Mm-hmm. Guys,
great.
I gotta go.
Thanks for coming,
very
Kel.
Cool. That's right.
That was fucking awesome.
Awesome, man. Great to have you on the show. You bet.
Do it again. Yeah.